Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Croppens. I'm Ronnie, that's Ben. Hello, Benoonie Tunes.
Hi, Ronnie, how's it going?
Hi, everybody, welcome to the show. Today is the Valley Day. Hope you're excited. We are, it's for sure. It's the end of our week here. We've had a really fun week. End of Summer House, part 20 of the aftermath or whatever they were doing. That was really fun. If you want this on video, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You get all our episodes on video. You get bonus episodes. This week, I think, is Orange. What are we doing this week? Orange County or Love Island? What do you want
to do? I don't know what we're doing.
Decide right now.
We haven't, you have to we haven't crossed right that. We haven't crossed that bridge. Maybe, can we just do one last Love Island before we do an Orange County preview? I think I have things on my chest that I think I want to air. And then we can, because we decided we're not going to fully follow Love Island on our Boney anymore, because I love Love Island, but the season's a little low wattage. So, and the episodes are longer than usual, I feel like. I think that Peacock is really, I think they are. I think Peacock is trying to really ratchet up that most minutes watched stat, because Love Island kills it with that. Like, they get, like, they trounce the competition. So I just have noticed there are just one too many episodes that are an hour and 13 or an hour and 24. And I'm like, we, like, once in a while, fine, you know, season premiere, fine, Casa more. But if it's like watching these people read letters to themselves in slow monotone, we don't need to spend 25 minutes extra on that. So, yeah, it's kind of
but
like...
they do. They sure do. But we'll talk about that later in the bonus episode. Patreon's also where you get ad-free listening. That's a big one. And a Discord server to talk to each other about stuff. And sign up for free to get our weekly blog that I write. It's just a recap of all this stuff that we talk about during the week, but in written form. Okay, it's even shittier in written form. So let's get to this recap. The Valley. Here we go.
The Valley. You know? I was laughing. I don't know. I thought this was a funny episode.
Just love the pain.
No, I mean, I'm not laughing at Kristen going through postpartum, but I'm laughing at really all lots of other things. Like, I was surprised at how much I laughed in this episode. There were, like, many things that made me giggle.
Well, that's good. We'll giggle today about it for sure. I mean, Bravo really has such a fun start to the week. You know, Atlanta's been really fun. Rhode Island has been really fun. Below Deck, fucking hilarious. This season and the last season, fantastic. What else? What's after that?
When do we enter McBee Dynasty. I mean, it's just like McBee Dynasty. I just say, look at this group of very funny, entertaining people that really should be on this network.
Okay, that's where we start to veer. Although we do have a lot of fun in those recaps. And then we go to Summer House, which has been pure toxicity and pain lately. And then the Summer House aftermath. And then the city, and which is more Amanda and Kyle yelling. And then this one, which is Kristen postpartum. God help us all, you know, and God bless her too. And not in the mean way, like God bless her. Cause this is a lot. I mean, holy shit, pop out a baby, go straight back to work, filming, not feeling your best. And then realizing you've saddled yourself up to Luke. I mean, ooh, have you seen Luke's Instagram, his new Instagram thing that he has?
Oh, I went to it last year. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Van Gogh Museum. No, I haven't been to his Instagram.
He has a new, like, daddy Instagram called Un, and then in all caps, Super, and then in lower caps again, Vised, Unsupervised Dad, where he talks about being a daddy. It's like he's trying to be a dad talker or whatever.
Oh, please.
And his bio is like, L.A. stranded, country born, and by the way, Kaya didn't ask for this either. Oh, really? Then why are you soaking it up and being as much of a drama queen as you can all over TV and starting your own fucking Instagram and staying in LA and getting colored lenses to wear in every interview you can muster up? Get out of here. And you weren't born in Colorado. You were born in Indiana. I looked it up.
Ha, there we go. Well, I can't stand that, like, LA stranded country boy thing. Go back to the country then. You know, no one twisted your arm to come to LA. You've been audible about how much you hate LA, but you've been very happy to be here and capitalize off it with this show about literally about LA. You know, like, it's like either be on the show and embrace living in the beautiful, charming San Fernando Valley, or go back to Colorado.
Just one correction when you say nobody twisted his arm to be in LA. I mean, of course they did, and her name is Kristen. Of course. But like, no one's forcing you. Like, go, yeah, exactly. No one's forcing you, sir. I don't want to hear it from you, especially someone who's so clearly soaking up the fame, you know?
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, he made a I'm going to say he made a sacrifice to move to LA. He did not, he does not like this city. That's fine. People make sacrifices for the people that they love. He made a sacrifice, but don't throw it back in all of our faces every single second. Okay. You either make the sacrifice and that's just who you are, and let us tell you how great you are that you made the sacrifice and that like you deserve respect for that. But like, or you just don't make the sacrifice at all, but don't make the sacrifice and then want sympathy over and over and over and over and over again. By the way, can I just tell you, I've watched a lot of McBee Dynasty, and I think I actually do deserve some, like, Ben, you've really given some sacrifices for the show. A lot of big sacrifices.
You do, Daddy. You do sacrifice. No,
for real. Don't, like, when you make the sacrifice, you do it and you move on. Okay, if you make the sacrifice and then you're drawing attention to all the sacrifices you make that you've made, are you really making a sacrifice, or are you just putting another brick into this monument you've built for yourself?
I mean, it's true. Look how you are with the McBee Dynasty. I mean, you wouldn't even know that it's a sacrifice.
You wouldn't know the resentment that I carry about having to watch that show. I feel like I'm pretty good.
Never fucking know.
I'm pretty chill about not announcing how much I am put out by it.
Yeah. but no, I think that you're absolutely right. It's the typical, like, oh, everything I've done for you. Oh, just fucking go. Go home, mullet. Like, nobody is begging for you to be in LA. Okay? Get the fuck out of here. So here we go. Season 3, episode 12, Schwartzapalooza. Oh God. Right, I knew we were in for something rotten when it's called Schwartzapalooza. Fucking A.
Seriously. So everyone. So catching up with everyone and their gas. I don't understand what the gas. Oh, that's right. They all have gas. That's our first bite. This is that first note. And I was like, what is this? Gas. And I forgot that we do start with them all being gassy.
It's the valley. So we start with everybody farting. That's how we go.
Well, this is something that's relatable. So Nia's like, mommy's going to make a quesadilla. And Danny, Dad, you're cutting some cheeses. So Danny starts making fart noises. And then he's like really amused by his own fart noises. So he's like, hey, where's Asher? He loved this comedy bit. Asher, come over here. And Asher's like, I'm right here. Okay, daddy's cutting the cheese. Ready? I can't believe this guy didn't get farther ahead in Hollywood.
No kidding. Asher's like, ah, yeah, I've been given the Danny ick and there's no coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the ick. The ick is really strong on this one. Now we go to Janet and Jason's, and Jason's asking Janet what she's decided to make, and she's made spaghetti, which apparently is the only thing that she can make because
this is like divorce Janet already. I mean, we go from farting to Janet making spaghetti again. I mean, come on, everybody just divorce everybody on this show.
She's a one trick pasta pony.
But also spaghetti, it's like the worst. It's the dumbest pasta to make. Make it a penne, really is. Make a rigatoni, make a, you know, the solid ones, not the ones that are, you know, flipping their hair and splattering everybody with sauce and getting it all over the fucking couch, you know, like
make, I know,
a decent, like make a respectable
short pasta,
self-contained orchette pasta, you know what I mean, an orchette, that's great,
like the best, like I love those things, although I don't love when they nest in each other. Yeah, I have to say spaghetti really is the dumbest pasta. I love that we are aligned with this. Spaghetti is just like so annoying. And you know, I'm more faithful to like a short pasta, or I have more allegiance to a short pasta than I do a long one. But even of the long pastas, no, I'm sorry, angel hair is the worst. I mean, that's like the worst of all the pastas, right? It's like, you can't, what do you even do with that?
I think spaghetti, then fettuccine, then angel hair. And let me tell you, angel hair, only because it's so thin, it clumps together a little bit better on a fork.
Mm, okay.
But I still don't like it. It's still not doing great. I just don't get sloppy ass spaghetti, you know, especially when you have a kid and furniture to worry about. Stop. And then you've got someone sick that you're bringing it on a meal train. Spaghetti is like the laziest fucking thing you can do for somebody.
I will say the This is gonna be a very Ben anecdote. Like recently, I was so sick of being a sloppy spaghetti eater because I feel like you put half it in your mouth, but you can't put it all in your mouth, so then you sort of have to bite, and then some of it falls back on the plate. It's just gross, and I just feel like there's got to be a better way to do it. I also feel like I can never get the right amounts, so I literally sat for like an hour and watched different tutorials on the best ways to get spaghetti onto your fork. And like, there's a part of me that wants to have some spaghetti just so I can practice these techniques. But generally speaking, I agree that it's a messy thing. And when you're spinning that fork and that one strand of spaghetti goes whipping around, yes, and there's a trebuchet of sauce, it's like a nightmare.
That sucks.
But I do like a bucatini. And the only reason why I don't love a bucatini is because there was that one guy who was on Top Chef who was so awful. And he said, bucatini is my spirit pasta. And I was like, well, I can't fully embrace bucatini now because of that guy. I think his name was Bruce.
Bucatini is better because it's like a straw.
Yeah, it's got something fun going on.
Yeah, it feels like, ooh, I'm eating a straw. Ooh, I'm going against the grain because people are, you know, so anti-straws. You know, I'm like, fuck you, turtles, every time I eat a straw.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I love turtles, obviously, but it makes me just feel rebellious. Like, yeah.
Ooh. I'll tell you, of the long pastas, probably my favorite, I think, is a muffaldine. You ever had that?
I feel like you're just fucking with me now. What's that? A muffaldine?
It's kind of like a long, slender lasagna noodle, but it has like, it's crimped its hair a little bit. You know how like lasagna noodles on the side are like, yeah, I crimped this. That's what muffaldine is like. And so it's long, but it's got texture and it's wide. So things have like, there's surface area.
That's like the Roma muffaldine. Muffaldine. Roma Mafialdine. So we're at Janet and Jason's. She's still pulling spaghetti on people, divorce, mm-hmm. and the baby's pooping. So that's fun.
Yeah. Now Brittany's, and Brittany is talking about potty training. So I guess their son is potty training. I don't know. She had a little toilet in the corner. I was like, is this for the son or is this for Jax? So then... Kristen comes over,
yeah,
and she's like, hello. And Cruz is at speech therapy for those who are wondering where he is. And Kristen's saying like, you gave a lot last night to that bot girl. Yeah. Cause I guess going out.
Yeah. They're talking, I guess, about going up and down Tom's staircases or something. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, I can't believe I stayed for 2 hours. And so Kristen has just gotten back from the passport. She got a little baby passport for Kaya. That's a cute baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because they're all going to be going to Mexico soon.
I'm really jealous of that baby skin. Isn't that so sad? Like as you age, you just start seeing babies and you're like, oh my God, what's your regimen?
Mm.
What do you do? Is that all moisturizer or is there a laser involved? Tell me the truth, baby.
I think what's sadder is getting older and just spending an hour of your time on YouTube looking at different ways that people spool up spaghetti on their fork.
No, I think that's pretty good because I know that there's going to be a video that you make that you're like, guys, here's what I've learned about getting spaghetti on a fork. And well, you're going to have it to your YouTube repertoire. And I'm going to learn it. I'll have it for all time.
Yeah. I learned that I was always doing it like a monster. I just put my whole fork into the pasta and then I just start twirling. And you're actually only supposed to put like one little strand into like one little tine and you just spin with that. And then by the end, you'll get a great clump. But I would always put my whole fork in.
I didn't ask and I knew that you were going to be like, well, here's how you do it too. And you know what? I also did want to know. So you finished telling me. You put one little...
No, that's it.
No, I didn't, but I talked over you as usual, so I didn't get the end.
Well,
so
I talked over
one
first,
little thing into the spork, and then tell me the rest.
Yeah, you take, yes, you can use a spork. I prefer a fork. You take it, and you basically take, like, if your fork is my hand, you take, like, the tine, like, the little pinky. You put, like, one little strand in between the bottom ones. You know, I guess you could do another combo of tines, but I like that. And then you just start twirling and you put your spoon there. You sort of put your spoon, the fork is in the spoon. I've seen the spoon method mm-hmm. before, but I always was like, why is this not working? It's because I always started with too much pasta in my fork. So you only put one strand in and then you twirl and twirl and that one strand will build up and then it will like end as like a little like beehive of spaghetti that has been shaped by the spoon. And I was always starting with like a little bit too much pasta. So there'd be just so much and it would never end. It would keep on pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. So that is the
but
hack.
By hack,
I mean the method that everyone knows.
Yeah, that actually sounds fun. And now I want to make spaghetti.
We could do it with bucatini, have the same effect and not have to degrade ourselves.
No, now I need to try it with spaghetti too. You talked me into it. All right, Janet Stan. All right, Janet, put a video up on how to make your spaghetti. I've got a Ziploc ready. Let's get this done.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So they're talking about this baby passport, and Kristen's like, I never thought a baby would have a passport. And then we see her taking a picture of the baby for the passport. And then they start talking for the passport. Password. Ronnie. Fuck. So then we start talking about last night, what a shit show it was. Mm-hmm. And Brittany's like, oh, God, can I talk to you about something, though? God, because it kind of bothered me last night. And Kristen's doing her like, tell me. I'm listening. I hear you. I've been to therapy mm-hmm. before. Like, flow yeah. into me. Flow into
but
me.
Kristen is giving her that face, but she has no idea that she is about to have to go on defense for Nia again. So Brittany's like, well, whenever we're talking to Nia, it was like about the food train and all that stuff, but there was like another level to it where I hadn't heard from her in 8 days, and that like that hurt my feelings because like everybody else, even Jesse, even Lacey, like they checked them in, they reached out. Like, so for me, it felt like a little bit like what's going on? Like, does she actually care about me? Because like she apologized and she said like she should have done better, but like and then you came in and you were like so ready to defend Nia in that moment.
Kristen's like, well, because I do feel protective over her when it comes especially to Janet. Kaka.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I think that Nia is performative with Brittany, but I also think Brittany's performative. I mean, Brittany doesn't like Nia. Everybody knows it. Even Zach outed her on camera. He's like, you don't like Brittany. I mean, you don't like Nia. What the fuck are you acting like you like Nia for? How dare you? How dare you make it look like I don't like Nia on camera? I'm being performative about liking Nia. I'm being mad about Nia being performative. You know what I'm saying?
I actually really liked the scene with Brittany. And I was like, am I starting to like Brittany on this show? Because I actually felt like she was dropping her normal like chuckles and sweetness. And she was showing that she was like annoyed by another girl in the group. And she's like, this is fucked up. I don't like this. Like, and normally she'd be like, oh, well, you know, but she's just like busy. So I get it. I understand. But like, she was like, I'm not going to giggle through this. She's like, I've got like little plastic balls that are attached to me that are draining out liquids from my body and sometimes even chunks. And I just don't have time to chuckle through this. Like, fuck this girl. And I kind of felt it was refreshing.
Yeah. I mean, I like Brittany on the show, actually. I've always liked, I think Brittany is the best thing on this show. Why else do people watch really? The show? Yeah, I think Brittany's hilarious.
I mean, I think she's been fine, but this is the first time I was like, oh, I'm actually, I've been sort of neutral on her. I think she's like more or less fine. I was happy when she took steps to get that divorce last season. This is the first time where I was like, oh, not only am I like fine with Brittany, I'm actually sort of like gravitating towards her and being like, yes, yes, Brittany, you know?
Well, it's also maybe like a team thing because you're really not, from day one, you're like, Nia. That's trouble right there, you know? So I think people are also realizing. So maybe you're just like, well, you know, you're on my team now.
Yeah.
But maybe. I do know what you mean, too.
It was like she's like more jaded.
It is nice seeing her be pissed, you know, because we only see her really pissed when Jax pushes her to the limit. And you could see, like, her eyes flare. Like, she got really mm-hmm. pissed at Kristen because Kristen's like, whoa, but I'm going to do stand up for a chef. But I wasn't even doing nothing to Neil. You know, she gets this, like... Mm-hmm. It's like almost cartoonish when she gets pissed. Her eyes literally change. It is nice to see that because normally she does have like,
everything's great.
I just feel like she's getting more jaded. And I think that this relationship with Brandon is somehow bringing out these sort of bitter notes that we've never seen from her before. We saw them a little bit last week and they're here again this week. And I think like the bitter notes are kind of like working for her in a weird way. They're kind of like rounding her out. They're like giving her like dimension.
Yeah. Well, you know, like good for Brittany getting some dimension. Good for her. I'm happy for her. So Brittany's like, you know, just sometimes she just seems so performative and that's what hurts my feelings. Oh God, Brittany, like everything hurts Brittany's feelings. You hurt my feelings. I really hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like that, and I felt like that for a while, but like when it comes to Nia, I'm like not allowed to have an opinion or say anything.
Chris goes, no, you are. You absolutely are allowed to have an opinion as long as that opinion is absolutely positive and praises her as being a great mom.
It's like, no, well, look, when it comes to Nia, I think Kristen goes to blind loyalty. She's like, admittedly goes on the defense for Nia, and Nia did not need her defenses. I'm the one that's struggling, and I'm the one who's in so much pain. I got little plastic balls attached to me. Okay, you want to see him? Want to see him? Like, she didn't even think about that, what my feelings were.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, she just seems so performative, and that hurts my feelings because I know she's a good person. And Kristen's like, well, I hate that. Because I don't see that at all. Like, how I feel is that people want to doubt that she and Daniel are genuinely fucking great people.
I'm not saying that she's not good people. And I think that Daniel is a great person whenever he's being normal.
Which I love that caveat. The qualifier. He's a great person whenever he's being normal. Cut to him later this episode.
Let's go!
So she's like, it's just whenever he does all this stuff that makes people uncomfortable. And that's like why it's a factor.
And so Kristen's like, well, I know the relationship that Luke and I have with them. And she's like, well, I know just as good as you do. And how many times have you been to their house, Kristen? She's like, more times than I can count. She's like, uh-uh. Just stop it, Kristen. She's like, uh-huh. Do you want me to write down dates or something? She's like, mm-hmm. I'm just wondering because it feels like a very surface level friendship.
I mean, Brittany is really on one in this. Like, this is... She's really going there. And Kristen's like, I talk to Nia on the phone every single day.
Okay, but like, I didn't think that you did.
By the way, the defense of like saying that Nia didn't have time. Brittany's whole thing is that Nia didn't have time to like check in on her, be like, how are you feeling? But Kristen's like, I talk to her on the phone every single day. It just sort of highlights the fact that Nia explicitly did not call Brittany during her recovery.
But Brittany and Nia aren't friends. I mean, look, I think what Brittany is saying is true. I think that Nia's whole, like, I'm going to start the meal train and I'm going to do this and that and then getting petty with it and leaving Janet off. That was shitty of her.
And not doing it.
And then not even doing it was like, I mean, I can see why she's saying Nia's performative. I think Brittany's got a real point there. On the other hand, I wish Nia wouldn't even bother with being performative because she doesn't like Brittany and Brittany doesn't like her. I mean, I need to know how many times Brittany has called or gone over there to check on Nia after she just had her fourth baby, you know?
Right.
It's not, I just don't
But you know, the thing that, is,
I mean, maybe I don't know, in the group Brittany's, text.
But the thing is, this is Nia's mess up because you go through the effort
You're
of
right.
announcing in a big way, I'm going to start a meal train. And then you don't even check in on the person that you're starting the meal train for. Like, that's shitty. Sorry.
Or send a meal.
Or send a meal train.
It is.
Got to leave the station. Know,
and this is where I feel like I get into trouble on shows like The Valley. Because standing up for one person or like standing against one person automatically kind of makes you stand up for another. And that's not what I'm doing. Because, I mean, I do acknowledge that Nia was completely wrong in all of that. And also, Nia, I do acknowledge that Nia's obnoxious and all of that. I just find it funny that Brittany is calling someone performative because Brittany is the most. I find Brittany to be so fucking performative and fake. I mean, everybody knows she doesn't like Nia. The only other time she's really lost it, other than with Jax, has been about Nia. And that time when, you know, the stupid Danny got drunk and took a nap and they were all mad that they weren't filming it. And, you know, Brittany's like losing her shit and showing her like evil cartoon eyes or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we know that Brittany does not like Nia either. So her whole like, it really hurt my feelings and Nia's not there for me. Get out of here. We know that you're like, I feel like you're just trying to paint a picture with Janet and probably Michelle a little bit too. But you guys are just doing your little thing you always do of painting somebody that you don't like constantly and hammering it into the ground. Now, is that to say that their painting isn't accurate? Not really. I just don't see that Brittany has the leg to stand on as far as somebody being performative, especially Nia. You hate Nia. Come on.
I mean, Brittany has obviously a track record of being performative for many years on this show. But I also feel like, yeah, I think that like she has a right to have her I think her feelings were valid to have her feelings hurt because Brittany's like, I know you know how to be performative because I've been performative with you and you can't even be performative with me. Fuck you.
So then Brittany's like, well, you got, so Brittany's saying nobody's going to change your mind, but you'll eventually see it about this girl. And Kristen's like, well, how would you feel if I said that about someone you were close to? And she's like, you say it all the time about Janet. Well, okay. Well, has it really reached Janet levels? And Kristen's like, well, but Janet's done things to me and Janet used to be one of my best friends.
Well, I also want to back up. I mean, I really am enjoying, and Brittany is really being cutting in this scene in a way we've never really seen her with her friends. At one point, right before this, Kristen says, you know, by the way, you know, Nia was one of the biggest helps through my whole pregnancy. Because we knew, we were talking about this last week, that like this is probably one of the reasons why Kristen feels this huge allegiance to Nia is because they went through pregnancy together. And obviously, Kristen's been having a very difficult time with it. So she probably feels a certain special way towards Nia. And then when Brittany said on camera, I was like, oh, that was I didn't think that that was an on camera performative thing. So when Brittany said that, I was like, that is, those are fighting words there, Brittany. And Chris is like, yeah, through the pregnancy, it was not on camera. And I was like, oh, this little conversation may do some damage.
Yeah. And Kristen's like, it wasn't just on camera. What are you talking about? Oh, it's like, you don't even know, which leads me to believe, like, how close are you and Kristen, really? Like, if you don't even know any of this stuff. So, you know, look, Brittany's not going to have it if you're, and Kristen is the same way, actually. And we've learned this from Vanderpump Rules. If they're not friends with somebody, you better not be friends with them, too. It makes them freaking crazy. Both of them have this issue. Yeah. You know, Kristen is especially like this. But Brittany has shown signs of this for years and years and years. And so they're going to be at a stalemate here because it's like, who are you going to choose? And Kristen also has a habit of choosing kind of the more popular person on the show, the most popular person, and just kind of, I don't know, what do you call it? Like following them, or she's always like second banana to somebody on the show. And she's always standing up for the wrong people. And I think this is another example of Kristen just doing that, you know?
She's second banana to usually a rotted pineapple. But in this case, so she said, like you were mentioning, like Kristen says, how would you feel if I were saying something about someone that you are close to? And Brittany's like, yeah, what about you say stuff about Janet all the time? And Kristen's like, Janet's done things to me and Janet used to be one of my best friends. Now, I'm not doubting this. I just can't remember. Like, what did Janet do to Kristen?
This whole show started with Janet coming for Kristen and being like, oh, well. Kristen and Zach were saying that Michelle is a racist because blah, 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 because she might have Republican leanings and stuff. So it immediately started with them coming for Kristen.
Right, there was that. Which actually was, and that was actually Brittany's fault, by the way. Because like,
and that was
Janet Brittany just, who'd, Janet all just of said
the fights on this show are Brittany, by the way. They're Brittany starting every fucking fight.
It was like something that Janet had said off camera, and then Brittany like just blew it up right on camera and then started that shit show. But then last season, the issue was, I think they were starting to make amends or something, but wasn't it that like, I just can't remember. Wasn't it that like Kristen and Luke were like, hey, Janet, we were telling people that Jason had an affair, but like it was purely a rumor. Something like that. Wasn't it? Weren't they like, oh, we started this rumor, but don't worry, it's just a rumor.
Kristen got mad and was standing up for a friend and was like, oh, really? Well, you're going to say that Danny is an assaulter? Well, we heard that your husband cheated on you. And then later was like, okay, I didn't really hear that. Or
I guess in my mind,
it's being shitty, you know?
In my mind, Kristen's like, you know what Janet has done to me. I'm like, you kind of did stuff to Janet too. Sorry.
Retaliatory, you know, on these shows it always goes back to who starts it, and Janet started it. Well, Janet started it, and then Brittany flamed it.
Yeah, but like,
or whatever.
But I feel like Janet saying that stuff to Brittany was just being like, oh, well, by the way, I heard from Kristen and so and so that Michelle may actually be like Republican. Like, to me, it's like, oh, this is what I heard.
Well, what we heard of what she said was that Michelle was for the don't say gay law or whatever, right? And then she was saying, well, you guys, you should probably watch out because if she's Republican, she's probably got, you know, we've got a black cast member and a gay cast member. And, you know, she was like, that's fishy. And then Brittany was like, well, what about you saying that? which put Kristen and Zach on the defensive.
And then they went after Janet. But I guess for me, what I'm just trying to say is that, like, Kristen's saying, like, well, Janet has done things to me. I'm like, who? If I were really to look at the scoreboard, a lot of stuff that Janet has done has been towards Danny and Nia. But, like, against Kristen, it's not been, like, as... It's not like... I could be totally wrong because I have gaps that I just can't remember. You know, it's like a whole new year. I'm like, what happened last year? But, like, all I can remember is that Kristen actually concocting a rumor about Janet. And I don't remember Janet, like, actually doing something to Kristen, but more that Kristen was annoyed that Janet was doing things to other people that Kristen liked. So I just think it's funny that Kristen's like, she's done stuff to me. I'm like, you're the one who started a rumor that Jason was cheating on Janet. You know,
I think Janet's been an asshole to Kristen multiple times. And again, it's the Valley. So it's like, I'm not necessarily saying Kristen's innocent because Kristen's done a ton of shit too. But for Brittany to be like, well, how do you talk about Janet all the time? Yeah, but Janet and Kristen are like full-fledged enemies. You are pretending to be Nia's friend who are just upset about one little thing. And if you are so close to Nia that your feelings are so hurt, then why wouldn't you just call Nia and be like, hey, this hurts my feelings? But instead, you have to get all the girls together and start being like, that really hurt my feelings, y'all. We need to have talk with Nia. And then gather Nia to have all the girls talk with her at one time. She didn't call Nia.
Well, she told her to her face on the last episode.
With all the girls right now, sitting there on camera. But I'm saying, like, if you're friends with everybody, if you're so close with Nia, why wouldn't you just say, hey, Nia, you know, it hurts my feelings that I haven't heard from you, instead of waiting and getting Janet and all of these people that you know don't even like Nia to confront.
Well, in this case, this conversation is actually... Even though it's so much about Nia, it really is actually about Kristen. And Brittany's whole issue is you just came charging up those stairs and you were just ready to defend Nia blindly. And you don't even understand. And, like, we're supposed to be friends. And, like, I have a legitimate issue right now with Nia. And you just don't even hear my side. You immediately just take her side on it. And, like, that's, like, sucky. And I think actually Brittany's really right on that one.
Oh, yeah. Kristen was acting like crazy last episode. It's like running up five flights of stairs to be like, you live in here, you leave me alone. They're like, what are you talking? No one's even yelling at Nia. What are you talking? We already worked out. But also, you know, the guys were downstairs like, oh my god, they're upstairs bullying Nia. Because the guys are on this whole like, oh, Brittany starts everything, get Brittany.
Yes, which admittedly we just said also. But Brittany does
does start a lot of the fights on this show. You know, she's like the producer of the show where she's always trying to get... She and Jax both did the same things where they... Mm-hmm. Do you remember that episode where they were literally following people around in separate parts of a house being like, Brittany's like, you better go talk to him right now about this. And Jack's like, well, bro, you better go talk to this. You better go get this. They're like making sure everything is on camera at all times. They're both kind of guilty.
Yeah. Brittany's like, look, I'm not trying to say that they're awful people. I'm just like not trying to do that at all. I'm like, you are, Brittany. See, this is the Brittany Hedge right here. I'm not trying to say that they're awful people. I want to be friends with them both. And I feel good around Danny sometimes. And sometimes I'm like, ew, and I hate that.
I like her. She goes, I really like Danny, except at the times where it makes me like,
it's just her way of saying, I can't stand the guy.
Yeah.
So now we go to butt facials. When they said this, I was like, did I hear that right? But like, butt facials, isn't that an oxymoron? But it were butt facials with Jasmine and Zach at a place called Bombay. And so they're going there because why not? Why not get a butt facial? And so Zach is talking about how his birthday is next week. They're excited. They're going to go to Mexico. And now they're going to get this butt. They're going to get their butts ready for it. So Starla, the esthetician, leads them in. And Zach is like, Jasmine thought it would be like a good idea for us to get like butt facials before Mexico. Okay. But like, I don't know why I said yes to this. Because I'm just like mad about all of it. Like the fact that she got me to show off my butt on camera is like mortifying. So... that we see Jasmine just lying on this table and her butt is unveiled for the world to see. And it is this big, beautiful butt. And Zach is like looking at it with envy. Like, God, I wish I had a butt like that.
So yeah, Zach really hits up every housewife storyline. It's like, let's get a butt facial, the spray tanning, the scrotox. He's like going to go to like every wacky thing to do on camera. I'm waiting for butt bleaching and or butthole waxing. Because you know that's coming. He's going to pull a Reza. I feel
vampire.
Like. Yeah.
He's like, when you look at my butt and Jasmine's ass, like, it's like night and day. Like, it's literally Mount Fuji and the Grand Canyon. So then we see Zach. He gets on the table after Jasmine's done. And we see it. We see his butt. It really is very much like Ken doll butt.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I am butt commenting because I've seen my own butt. I'm literally not going to comment.
I'm only commenting because he made jokes about it first.
He's like, it's concave. It's like had years of wear and tear.
It's like, is it the flattest ass you've ever seen?
Yeah. And so Zach's like, yeah, there's like nothing even there. I mean, why did she even ask me to do this? It's like kind of hateful of her actually to do that to me. Whatever. So she is talking about. He is talking about how he went with Danny to go anniversary shopping for Nia. And we were just talking about a bunch of different things. And so I mentioned my homecoming where he decided not to drink. And he was like, yeah, I didn't drink at your party. But then I came home and Benji was like, I don't want to start drama, but he totally drank at your party.
Wait, Benji with the tea. Listen, I think Danny should be able to have a drink around us. Okay, like have a drink, but don't go crazy. I just think that it's like a little weird that he has to like lie to his close friends about drinking.
He doesn't. People are giving him shit about drinking because of how he acts when he's drinking. It's his behavior when he's drinking. It's making me crazy.
Are you saying he doesn't lie?
No, I'm saying he doesn't have to lie about drinking. The point isn't that, I mean, Janet does keep making alcoholic jokes, but the point is more about his behavior than his drinking. It's like he's acting like, oh my God, they're just on me for my drinking. No, it's because you're yelling at your wife and then blaming your drinking. You fucking idiot. Yeah. So anyway, they're like, oh, well, now he's hiding it. We see him drinking. You know, they show the scene again where he's like slipping stuff right in front of cameras like a fucking idiot that he is. They're talking about that and Jasmine's like, by the way, what's going on with Benji's status and why don't you just marry him? Like if it's a, green card thing, just marry him. And he's like, I can't just marry the guy. I don't even know if I want a baby. And that's a definite for him.
Yeah. Zach starts to basically tear up because he really loves Benji, but he basically doesn't want to have a kid. And he's saying like, oh, I want to have a kid, but I want to make sure I'm sure. And he knows that if he doesn't want to have the kid, then he's going to lose Benji. And I say probably it might be time to make a tough sacrifice. So he is like crying there. And you know, Starla's just like, you know, the entire time she's just like painting his butt. Putting creams on it. It's like, oh my God, like I don't want to cry getting a butt facial. So, and Jasmine's like, look, you know, when you can't pressure yourself to get married to someone when you're not there, like, you know, like I'm sorry, but like I love Benji and he's great for you and all that. But like, you know, there's just like other people out there too, and it'll be great for us. So she's basically like, don't get married to someone if you're not on the same page about a child. Because that's not
gonna
work out well.
Yeah, that's not gonna work out. And so now they are going to pack for Mexico. So Kristen is on FaceTime with Nia.
Hi.
She's like, of course you look hot. Oh my God, we're packing for Mexico. Do we feel good about babies going to Mexico? Do you feel calm? Do you feel calm? Make me feel calm. No, bringing your newborns to Mexico is not a good idea. And I wish someone in the friend group would be like, no.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fine if it's like it's fine. Like Nia is fine. She's just like not a baby. But you know, obviously Kristen is. She's really having challenges, really just with everyday life, and she has challenges with traveling in general. So, you know, I feel like I felt this way, and I'm sure many other viewers were thinking this is not going to be good for Kristen bringing his newborn baby to Mexico. She is going to go right through it. She's going to be absolutely like, she's going to go through all the things.
And yeah, I know how harsh that is to say, like, I would tell my friends, no, I would though. if I was going to Mexico and my friends were like, oh my God, I'm going to bring my 3-month-old baby, I would be like, that's a different trip. You know what I mean? Especially two. No. They do bring care though. Like Kristen does bring her sister and her brother, but you know, Kristen's going to Kristen. So
yeah, it's an interesting contrast because it's almost the same thing plays out as what played out in San Diego with Danny and Nia, where they brought care, but Nia still wants to bring the baby along and Danny started to get annoyed. And I was really thinking about like, why am I not as frustrated with Luke, who makes similar points to Danny, like, hey, we've got care. Why aren't we using the care? And I think the difference is that, I'm not frustrated at Luke because he's already in like a tense interaction with Kristen and they are trying to navigate this situation. Whereas with Danny and Nia, Nia actually has like, she's like, I need to have the baby and it's fine. And like Nia's like being nice and friendly and Danny's coming at her like in a really hard way, which I guess sort of sounds fucked up. Like it's okay for someone to be a dick to you if you're in a tense situation, but you know, like, in a fight,
no, but it's true.
Fighting, it makes sense. Like, the context makes sense. And in Medea, she was just being chill and Danny was being a dick and passive aggressive. I can't
explain. Yeah, Danny wanted to go get wasted and do shots and do all this stuff. And he was mad at her for having the baby and this and that. Whereas Kristen is, you know, super annoyed on this episode and being, you know, kind of an ass. But that being said, I get it. Like, she's postpartum. Yeah. She's just had this baby. It's too much. Like, it's too much for her to be doing. And I know, you know, it's a show and she has to show up to get paid. And this is rough, man. To drop a baby and then immediately have to go back on TV.
I don't think she's ready.
But yeah.
But I think also, by the way, it also makes it kind of more staggering that Kristen was not able to see Danny critically when everyone was like, yeah, his drinking, like he's acting crazy when he drinks and Nia needs help. He's treating his wife badly. And the fact that Kristen was kind of like, I don't see a problem with it, while she's actually going through very, very, very similar issues with Luke and lodging the same complaints with Luke, is a little wild to me in retrospect.
It is. Yeah. Cause it's pretty much, I mean, it's very similar, the guy situations at least. But it's also Kristen, and it's like everybody, I don't know, anybody going through anything can make it any kind of way. But of course, Kristen's going to make it the most miserable for every single person there.
Yeah.
It's like she shows up, she's like, this sucks. I don't like drinking anymore. And I don't like being out with anybody. I hate this. I hate him. It's like, oh my God. It's kind of one of those things. It was like a Jackson Brittany thing where you're constantly listening to them bicker or have problems, or it's always her crying and his thing. It's like, at what point, like, do we just get to have a fucking vacation? You know, and I feel like all the friends felt like that. It's like, Jesus Christ, like, we get that you're going through something, but this whole season has been misery. Can we just have one fucking day in Mexico?
Well, people also forget that when Kristen is unhappy and she's in a relationship, it's not smooth sailing. Like, let's never forget, let's go back to season 2 of Vanderpump Rules, and her relationship with Tom Sandoval on that season was horrific. It was so fraught. I mean, obviously she was also cheating on him with Jax, but do you remember every episode they would have fights? I remember them going to a Korean barbecue once, the two of them, and it was just such a toxic fight. It was constant. She really, when she's unhappy, she winds up in very, very toxic patterns.
She's just miserable, and she makes everybody around her miserable.
Yeah, in this case, I think we obviously excuse it because there's stuff going on with her body that's like out of her control. So we are empathetic to it. But man, it's rough going if you're on the other side of that Kristen Doty firestorm.
Yeah. And I think the other difference between the Nia and Danny and her and Luke dynamic that we're not really talking about too much is that Kristen is, what was I going to say about that? I just wrote other dynamic, but then I forgot what I said because we started talking about other stuff. It'll come back. Sorry. I'm still concentrating on Bucatini. I'm like, but how can I like Bucatini if I hate spaghetti?
I will say, like, in full transparency, it's a really strange thing to talk about because, like, it's hard. Okay, you remembered your dynamic?
I remembered it. Yes. Another reason is because Nia kind of has to have the baby on her because the baby can't have bottles. And Kristen doesn't necessarily have to. She's just having the first baby thing where you're like, you don't want to be away from your baby for 5 seconds, which I think is also valid. And I'm not saying it's not. But when you're looking at Nia, Nia's like, I have to have this baby with me. I can't just trust it to somebody else because the baby has needs. And Kristen is just like, I just want to stare at this baby because it's only going to be this age for another second. And so there's, you know, that's another.
It's a different thing. I think that what's tricky for me, honestly, as a podcaster watching this is that, like, I don't know what it's like to go through postpartum. And I know it's like a really very, very intense, severe thing that women have to go through. And so it's hard to sit here and then talk about like, oh my God, Kristen was being miserable. Oh my God, Kristen, she was lashing out, whatever. Cause it sounds like I'm just like not holding any space for that postpartum. And so I'm trying to sort of like navigate that space between having complete empathy and sympathy for what she's going through while also reacting to what I'm just seeing on screen and the storytelling that I'm receiving and like, and whatever. So it's like, it's tricky because back in the season 2 of Vanderpump Rules, it was not a postpartum issue. She was just being a monster. And so it's like, I hope my comparison to that time is not discrediting what she's going through with postpartum. All I'm trying to say is that when she's unhappy, like, she really is unhappy and she really will, you know, she'll go for it, you know, and so it's like, we're watching it happen all over again, but in a different context this time. So
yeah, I hope people
understand and listen are not thinking that I'm engaging with this stuff kind of like, you know, without any consideration of that. I'm sort of trying my best to navigate, you know, having a real world understanding of these things while also trying to be like, Kristen's being a little unhinged right now.
Yeah. No, I agree. And also, we're talking to majority group women here. So, like, we understand that we don't go through it. And I think when we get to the Luke stuff, I'll be able to be more clear-headed because Luke did bug the fuck out of me with all of this. You know, it's one Luke thing to, not. Like, sit as a viewer or as the friend group who's sitting there and be like, oh God, Kristen, like, you're really making this miserable for literally everybody around you. But the minute that Luke starts, I'm like, oh, fuck you. Like, this is the least you can do is just shut up for two seconds and just let her go through it and just do a yes, honey. Like, it's not all about your fucking feelings. And I'm not here to watch you cry and whine about it. But, you know, Kristen's a lot, you know, like the postpartum stuff, of course, that's all real. And those are all real things people go through. But Kristen is Kristen, and she's going to be the most Kristen in any situation.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not being like, wow, oh my God, she's crazy. God, get it together. I don't think she has to get anything together. I think she just goes through it and she lives it. And I do think it's up to Luke to be more accommodating. But I don't even remember what my point was on any of this. It's just
I get your point. It's a tricky situation. It's like, I'm not coming for postpartum thing or being like, get over it. I mean, I get that. But also, as a friend, like, I really don't want to be on a trip with you if you're going to be like this. like, leave me alone.
Leave me alone. So we now
I'll call you from the beach to make sure you're okay.
Yeah. So now we go to Lala's and she's packing and Sosa is watching, which is exciting. And then Nia and Danny, and Nia's like, Asher, can you say Mexico? And Asher's like, Mexico. And then Danny is like, just like being jokey. And he's like saying, oh, Adelaide's saying I'm going to Mexico with you guys. What do you say? Oh no, I think she asked if Janet's coming. She's not happy about that. I know, Adelaide.
So funny how this guy is still so playing on last season's energy. It's like he doesn't even realize that he is the most hated now. Like, you're in the Janet spot, and these things don't land the same. He's like, just wacky dad making Janet jokes. It's like, nope. You're the donkey now, sir. Okay?
Yeah.
So then we go to Janet and Jason's, and Jason's like, no, just go. Like, you really should go on this trip. You've been taking care of me. And he's like, I mean, I showered by myself the other night, you know, and your mom's here to take care of me. And you'll be with your closest friends. And she's like, yeah. And
damn, my biggest enemies.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be great. But don't worry, I've packed a Ziploc full of spaghetti in the carry-on, so I will always be thinking of you, Annie.
And then Janet decides to FaceTime Brittany
to ask her about outfits. Okay, I'm officially fucking. That's when I backed up my chair and I was like, "You're calling Brittany to ask her about outfits?"
That's true. That's a fair thing. That's not gonna end well. So Brittany's like, hey, I just went back on my stuff.
What do you call a flounder to ask it for tap dancing lessons? This is the wrong person. You're calling the wrong person.
So we're basically going to wear bright colors all day, every day. Except for Nia, because she's just a gray cloud.
And then Janet's like, well, I ordered a couple of banners and things for Zach's birthday, and I'm happy you invited me and included me. You know, and like, she tells us that we've got a triple birthday trip coming up. It's Schwartz is having Schwartzapalooza, which is going to be some sort of music festival vibe, which I love. It's like his attempt at like a Coachella Lollapalooza moment, which is going to be worse than we could ever imagine. And Janet's just happy to be part of it, I think. She's happy,
and then, you know, Zach, he's my best friend now, so I'm going to have a big gay night for him. That's going to be great. And then and Janet's like, am I even invited on Danny's day? And she's like, well, I mean, you got outfits for us, so we'll see what happens. And then Danny's Miami Vice birthday, that's going to happen too. And Janet's like, yeah, not really sure Danny needs another vice, but.
I like that. She did that. I definitely like, loved it. I thought that
smoothing out amazing. Her clothes. She's like,
She does that thing where she's like, she looks at the camera, cocks her head, then looks down, and yeah, smooths out her dress. Like, you said it, not me. It's like, you said it, Janet. Well, fine. You heard it, not me. Such a little bitchy moment. I loved it.
Well, I'm still healing though, okay? But you know, I can't have drinks after my tubes come out. And Janet wants to get a t-shirt that says, yeah, I'm going to have a drink when my tubes come out. Sell a lot of shirts.
I'm so tired of the tubes. Okay, I'll say they're poor. Okay.
So then it's time to tell
the dogs, don't fight over the boobs, dogs. Because you see, like, the were they like the drag queen boobs from a costume?
Yeah.
What were they? And the dog was literally eating the nipple off of a boob. It's like, pick the boob up. There's a drag queen in need who could use that breastplate.
Yeah, that was from their beauty pageant in San Diego.
Yeah.
So now they get to the airport, and it's funny. Brittany's in like a little wheelchair, and she's just like, hi! And so they arrive in Puerto Vallarta, and Kristen is crying in the airport. And they're like, oh my God, why is she crying? What happened? And it turns out that she was in the bathroom changing Kaya's diapers, and then fans were in there taking photos of her, and you know, Kaya was like out of the diaper. And so Kristen was... went into mama bear mode and was very, very upset about it. And also, by the way, who are these? Who are you? Who's taking pictures of celebrities in the bathroom? Come on, people.
Come on. Get a hold of yourself, you fucking weirdos. Who does that? The only person that would like that is like Lindsay. She'd be like, oh my. It's like autographing in the baby's poop on the wall. It's me, Lindsay. But yeah, you don't do that. Who does that? Come on, Bravo totally, fans.
Totally inappropriate. People should not be doing that. It's crazy. And especially, like, you know, it's like a baby. Like, I don't know. Like, people need to get over it. Luke was also upset about it. But now Kristen's really rattled. And I think that this just kind of sends her down a path that she can't get out of for the rest of the episode.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kristen's just going, you know, obviously the postpartum thing and then the going right back to work and she doesn't feel comfortable in her body and they're going to this, you know, bikini destination. And then she's, you know, she'd rather be home with the baby. She can't even change her baby without fans from the show coming to take her picture. And it's like, This has got to be just making her fucking crazy. And she's, you know, she's like, I'm traumatized. And everyone's like, oh my God, how can we help? And she's like, no, nothing. I don't need anything. And Lala's like, you know, like, I get that she struggles traveling, but you know, you've finally got the baby that you're traveling with, but it does seem like there's something more going on.
Right. And so she's really upset. But the rest of the group is pushing Brittany around in the airport in the wheelchair. And Brittany's like, here I come, rolling up. Tom, don't forget my suitcase. Okay. And they hop into the vans. And Kristen's still like really upset. She's telling Nia about like fans in the bathroom asking for photos, and she's like, "There's nothing I can fucking do about it." And so Nia's like, "Well, I wish I was there. I would have bit their heads off for you." So now everyone's in the van traveling to the hotel.
And in the other van, the baby's crying. And then in the other van, Lala's like, "Oh my God, I did not leave my babies at home to be in a van full of babies." So thank God for this van.
Yes. So then, you know, Brittany's like, "Gosh, last time I was in Mexico, I was Brandon. Like, how weird is that?" And they're like, "That was like a few weeks ago. It's not that weird." So she's like, "I mean, I can't do anything right now because of my situation, my body. I can't do anything other than make out. So, but like, if y'all dare me to make out with somebody, I will do it."
"How do you make out without a tongue?" And Tom's like, "How do you say, I have a girlfriend in Espanol? ¿Cómo se dice, I'm in love?"
And so Michelle says, "Say soy." He's like, "Soy. Soltero. Soltero. I am single." And everyone laughs. He's like, "Oh, you sabotage me, Michelle." Hey, everyone. This is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS, we love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with Kay Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.